Welcome to the Voice of Literacy,
where literacy researchers discuss implications of research for teachers, principals, parents, and policymakers.
Join the biweekly podcast and discussion forum.
My name is Candace Kuby, a professor of early childhood literacy at the University of Missouri.
And my name is Sarah Vanderzanen, a professor of literacy education at the University of Northern Iowa.
This week, we hear from Andrew Holliman, a senior lecturer in developmental psychology at the University of Coventry in the UK. His research focuses on the development of children's reading and phonological awareness and the role of speech rhythm or prosodic sensitivity in this development. Welcome, Dr. Holliman.
Hi, Candace. Thanks for having me.
So the article we're discussing today stems from research questions that you sought to understand the relationship between prosodic sensitivity and early literacy development. Prosody might be a term that's unfamiliar to some of our listeners, and generally speaking, that term encompasses things such as speech rhythm, volume, tempo, and pauses. And your article has several figures, as I was reading it, you call them pathways, that you use to demonstrate the relationship among these different ideas. So there's a lot of concepts, and perhaps our listeners might want to hear a little bit more about things like vocabulary, spelling, reading, and prosody, and these other concepts that you find are influential for early literacy development. And we're going to get to those in just a moment. But before we get into that conversation, Andrew, tell our listeners a little bit about how you got interested in prosody and early literacy development.
Okay, well, my fascination with reading development in general began when I was at sixth form college, so I was about 17. And I volunteered to be a member of the Paired Reading Support Scheme, which was basically a scheme set up for 12 to 14-year-olds who had reading difficulties. So I would listen to them read, I would provide corrective feedback, try to be encouraging, and keep a record of their progress. And I found that work interesting and enjoyable and rewarding, but I kind of left the topic of literacy until the final year of my undergraduate degree in psychology, where I decided to investigate the subject of dyslexia in adults. And it was during this time that I first came across the term speech rhythm. And there was a paper by Professor Claire Wood titled Poor Reader's Ability to Detect Speech Rhythm. And it was really exciting to me. It's quite a new area of reading development. But unfortunately, it wasn't too associated with my dissertation subject. So I had to kind of put that interest on hold for a little while. And fortunately for me, as I was graduating, the Open University, which was where Professor Claire Wood was based, were offering doctoral studentship. And I was fortunate enough to apply for one of those and be accepted into their center, where I researched the role of speech rhythm or prosody, I use them quite interchangeably, in children's literacy development under the supervision of Claire Wood. And I've been researching the area ever since. And Claire Wood is also a co-author on this paper.
Yeah, so we should mention that this paper does have several co-authors that you might want to talk about. And so as we move into a conversation about the piece itself, help listeners to understand what prosody is, and perhaps you can provide us with a quick definition or even an example for our listeners.
Sure, okay. So to kind of contextualize this research, you know, for decades, researchers have tried to identify factors that influence reading development or to develop screening tools that might help identify children with reading difficulties, or indeed to develop intervention techniques that might remediate difficulties in reading and spelling. And, you know, one of the most robust and widely accepted predictors of reading and spelling is phonological awareness. So by that, I'm referring to the sounds of spoken language. Knowledge that the word cat, for instance, can be broken down into phonemes, so k-at, or onset rhyme boundaries, so k-at. And this is what we'd regard as segmental phonological awareness. And as I say, there's an extensive link between these kind of skills and reading. Now, what's interesting is that another area of phonological awareness, what we'd regard as suprasegmental phonological awareness, has begun to receive a great deal of research attention. So by this, we're talking about the overarching patterns of the speech stream. It is still referring to the sounds of language, like segmental phonological awareness, but it's dealing with things like intonation, stress, timing, and the general rhythm of an utterance. And what we found is that individual differences in sensitivity to these kind of characteristics of speech, these prosodic features of speech, is consistently linked with literacy development. And not only that, but it's related to reading development in a way that is independent of its association with other known predictors, such as vocabulary knowledge or phonological awareness. So that's what prosody is, and it's exciting for us because it may be explaining unexplained variants in literacy. So it may be a missing link, and it may support other skills that are linked to literacy as well.
So talk a little bit more about that link. You said there might be a link, and maybe this is connected to the pathways or the visual models that you have in the article. What did you find out about the link between, you know, volume, tempo, pauses, and these aspects with prosody and reading?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, it's the finding that speech rhythm is associated with these literacy skills is no longer a novel finding. It's been kind of replicated in a series of studies. And even in this paper here, when we look at what we would regard as bivariate correlations, so we're just looking at an association between two variables, we find that sensitivity to speech rhythm is associated with all of the variables in our study. So an individual who is more sensitive to speech rhythm has a superior vocabulary knowledge, superior phonological awareness, superior reading and spelling. But what we've tried to do in the model, which is what makes this particular article unique, is we have tried to bring together all of the literature that's available on this topic and try and develop a model of literacy. So what we're essentially doing is trying to explain the mechanisms by which sensitivity to speech rhythm may influence reading and spelling. So, you know, I don't have time to go over all of the links, I guess, but for instance, we've tried to theorize based on associations between speech rhythm and vocabulary that maybe an individual who is more sensitive to stress will be able to identify words in fluent speech and therefore develop a more proficient vocabulary. We know that in a word, for instance, or in a syllable, phonemes are easier to identify in stressed syllables rather than unstressed syllables.
Could you give us an example of that?
Sure, yeah. So like in the word sofa, you know, it's easier to identify the O rather than the R, which is a reduced vowel, it's an unstressed syllable, which we sometimes call a schwa. At Cambridge, they've also shown that, you know, peak of loudness in a syllable corresponds to vowel location. So if you had the word cat, you would see that peak of loudness corresponds to the vowel, the at, the rhyme unit. So there's an idea that someone who's more sensitive to stress, which is just one prosodic component, may be more aware or more able to access onset rhyme boundaries. So it would develop their phonological awareness. And just a last point, you know, another connection is with morphological awareness. So morphology is the study of word structure, basic units of meaning, you know, dog, more than one dog becomes dog. Knowledge of root word affixes, suffixes. So the word unacceptable is made up with a prefix, un, the root word accept, and able, the suffix. And what we know is that when you think about it, when we're trying to decode multisyllabic words, knowledge of morphology and stress placement becomes particularly important. You know, most of these models of literacy work very well when you're dealing with monosyllabic words like the word cat. Phonological awareness will do all the work for you. But when you're dealing with a word like together, it requires the additional skill of stress placement. And what we know is that some suffixes change the stress placement within the word. So, for instance, if you think of the word electric, you think the stress placement is on lek. If you have a suffix itty, it shifts the stress to that syllable immediately before the suffix. So it becomes electricity. So we believe that stress sensitivity is also bound up with morphology when decoding multisyllabic words. But there's just four explanations, but we've got, you know, we've tried to piece together all of the links that are available. Some of it is quite theoretical. It's not all established links here, but we've tried our best to try and map out how prosodic sensitivity might influence reading and spelling through these various other skills, vocabulary, phonological awareness, and morphology. And we've tested this using covariant structural modeling, so a path analysis, basically, which will tell us how well our data actually fits our model.
So let's move maybe to the more practical, if I could push you there a little bit, as to what would you say from the study that you've done, how would you have a conversation and talk with parents or principals, policymakers, teachers? What does this research mean, or what might it prompt these different audience members to think about?
Well, I think it's worth pointing out that, you know, much more research is required in this area, and we present the model as a first step to disentangling this complex relationship between prosody and literacy. But, you know, even the sparse intervention research in this area, and there are a handful of studies that have tried to develop speech rhythm and look at the impact it has on literacy. And the findings so far suggest that teaching children to be more aware of rhythm, to tapping tasks, listening to poetry, does it sound right, and offering corrective feedback, those kind of interventions have effects on literacy that are equivalent to those of more segmental phonology-based interventions. More research is needed, but, you know, if this finding can be replicated, then it will have important implications for all those concerned. So to parents, I'd be saying, first and foremost, it's, I'd encourage parents to read with their children and to try and make it an inherently fun activity. But based on this research, we would say try to select books that are somewhat poetic, that cover different rhythmic features with stress, intonation, and timing, so that children are exposed to these different supra-segmental features, like motherese, isn't it, like infant-directed speech, which kids find enjoyable. And we'd hope that those kind of activities would support children's literacy. For teachers and you know, policymakers, well, as I say, we perhaps need a bit more research. However, it's interesting that in the same way that phonological awareness activities involving, say, phoneme awareness have been incorporated into early curricula, it's possible that prosodic awareness activities will be. Activities that focus on stress, timing, intonation, and awareness of these rhythmic characteristics might form part of policy, might form part of tuition. And, you know, this is a somewhat ambitious implication now, but bear in mind that speech rhythm developed from birth. Okay, infants have been found to differentiate between stress-timed languages and unstress-timed languages. Given that it develops prior to literacy instruction, it might be possible, if we can establish a causal link between prosodic sensitivity and reading, that we can identify potential reading difficulties before children have even started reading. So there's a lot of potential in this area, but more research is needed.
Sure. Andrew Holliman from the University of Coventry, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. Pleasure.
You can find Andrew Holliman's research in Reading Research Quarterly, Volume 49, Issue 4. Stay current with literacy research. Go to iTunes, Facebook, or Twitter and search for Voice of Literacy. Or you can go directly to our website at www.voiceofliteracy.org, where you can find a link to this article and additional work done by Andrew Holliman. We invite you to join online discussions of this or other podcast episodes, peruse a schedule of upcoming topics and guests, and post questions for those guests. This is the Voice of Literacy.